crazy. And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades.
Down a backwoods Tennessee byway, one arm on the wheel, holding my lover with the other, a sweet soft southern thrill. Worked hard all week, got a little jingle on a Tennessee Saturday night. Couldn't feel better, I'm together with my Dixieland delight. Spend my dollar, park in a holler, need the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving, a little turn of dubbing on a Mason-Dixon night. It's my life. Oh, so right, my Dixieland delight.
Whitetail buck deer munching on clover, red-tailed hawk sitting on a limb,
chubby old groundhog, croaking bullfrog, free as a feeling in the wind. Homegrown country girl, gonna give me a whirl on a Tennessee Saturday night. Lucky as a seven, living in heaven with my Dixieland delight. Spend my dollars, park in a holler, need the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving, a little turn of dubbing on a Mason-Dixon night. It's my life.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now.
No, I won't be back. I'll be right here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 12th of April, and it's a Monday. And no, it's not a Monday. It's a Wednesday. We already had Monday this week. I'll get it all straight here in a minute. I've got a lot. Oh, by the way, for those of you that ordered survival tabs, you should be receiving them anytime. A bunch of them came in here yesterday. We've talked to several other people that ordered them, and they're starting to receive them now. So if you haven't got them yet, just hang tough for another day or two, and they ought to be there. If they don't, if they're not there in a day or so, let me know, and we'll see if we can find out what happened to them. But I imagine they'll be there shortly. There's a few gun-related things we're going to talk about tonight. Let me see what we got in the chat room here first. Let's see here. All right, Brad. Hey, Big Ear Dave's in there tonight. Glad you made it back over here. Good. You need to, I wonder if you read that thing that I sent you yet. That's good information there. It ought to give you a lot of things to think about. So anyway, that was my plan, to give you something to think about. Concretin's probably not there. Looks like he left his computer on. He may be there. Matty Buck, good to see you. Benny, always. Peanut Rider, Rolex, Susie B. Radio Doc, looks like he lost his password or something. He's not signed in properly. And Anonymous there. So, all right, we'll see how many other come dragging in here in a little bit. Okay, this first story, I have to play this. You know, it's a little bit tougher for me to bounce back and forth between YouTube and my broadcaster here, but I got to this time because this first story reminds me of this movie clip right here.
Flynn, go and get my second revolver. I know how much you'd like to have your rifle with you at this moment, Mr. Quigley, but I think you'll find
my idea.
Stick it in his belt. Go on!
I seem to remember you're not too familiar with Colonel Colt's revolver, so this will be your first lesson. Don't worry. Mr. Dobkin and Mr. O'Flynn will ensure that it's a fair contest. I'll just back up a few paces. To your left a bit. That's it. Now you're right in front of my old pistol target. Some men are born in the wrong century. I think I was born on the wrong continent. Oh, by the way, you're fired.
This ain't Dodge City. And you ain't Bill Hickok.
Thank you.
Said I never had much use for one. Never said I didn't know how to use it.
Okay, sound was awful low on that. I don't know if you guys could hear that or not. But that was a scene from Quigley Down Under. And it was, it looks like some of you heard it, heard it all right. It was pretty low. But I love that scene right there. So, the reason I played that is to kind of set the scene for this first story here. You know, we constantly, nearly every show, or certainly at least once or twice a week, every week for 10 years, we've talked about being prepared, having your gun on you, with you. We've talked about Amy's issue with the killer Billy Goat back in 2012. There's been a lot of incidents happen since then, you know, around the country, around the world. And this one really, really highlights the reason that we say this all the time. There was a home invasion. Now, you guys got to understand, I know you've been paying attention to the news here. Especially down in not especially anywhere. It's all over the country. Certainly, it's worse in the metropolitan areas than it is, you know, Podunk, Nebraska, or whatever. But you know, Phoenix, it's real bad. Tucson, there's been a couple right here in Sholo, of course. You know, Dallas, L.A., wherever. These home invasions are getting way out of hand. Some areas, especially southern Arizona, Texas, southern New Mexico, southern California, a lot of them are border hoppers, illegal aliens or invaders, whatever you want to call them. And a lot of that's going on with our other uninvited guests up in the Northeast as well. But this is a story about a home invasion in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Is Doc in there tonight? Let's see if Doc knows where Olive Branch, Mississippi is. Doesn't sound like a major metropolitan area. But, you know, there was a home invasion in Cuba, New Mexico. For those of you that are familiar with New Mexico, Cuba is a little old town up in, I guess it would be considered northeast. Anyways, just north of Albuquerque, about, I don't remember, 100 miles or something like that. But there was a home invasion there a few years ago since I've been doing the show. There was a kid. The kid was actually a relative of the, it was their grandson. And he beat his grandparents within an inch of their life. And this was, all a result of him wanting to use their vehicle and one of the keys for it, and they said no, and then he left and came back when it was, they didn't expect it. Anyway, so in this one here, there was a group of three or four armed men with rifles. That was why I played that clip a while ago. Armed men with rifles entered the home about 2 o'clock in the morning and demanded money. And there was several family members in there, as the guy, Courtney Mosley. This Courtney is a guy's name, apparently. Courtney Mosley and his girlfriend, who had a pistol. Now, I would have to chastise Courtney Mosley for not having a pistol. He had to turn in his man card and use his girlfriend's pistol. But at any rate, they come in at 2 o'clock in the morning, demanded money. There was a little fisticuffs going on, a little scuffle. And the residents there, what do you mean no sound? Let's see, the sound looks good on this end. Is anybody else having no sound? Well, if there's no sound, you couldn't answer me then, could you? Yeah, we must have sound because Rolex is talking about the Billy Goat, and everybody's talking about Olive Branch. So somebody tell Radio Doc to refresh there, would you? Hey, NM Glock's with us again tonight. Good to see you. So this guy, they had a little scuffle, and one of the suspects fired and shot the guy's uncle, shot him in the back, Curtis Mosley, and it killed him. Now, the thing about rifles is they are frequently one-shot stops and often one-shot kills. It's just the nature of the beast. Just tell Radio Doc to refresh there. He's usually got sound, unless he's on his phone. That may be why he's not signed in properly there. So, anyway, the kid said, I don't know if he's a kid or not, but he said, they just killed my uncle right in front of me. They're in my house. That may have been what he was telling 911. I don't know. But it was then that he grabbed his girlfriend's gun and returned fire. Now, we're talking about three or four guys with rifles. One shot already fired, one man dead, one of the good guys from the home. He grabbed his girlfriend's gun, returned fire, and two of the suspects, D'Angelo Miguel Tinnen and Mariko Darielle Simmons, were struck by his gunfire and firing back. Tinnen was killed. The other one went to the hospital voluntarily looking for treatment, and the other suspects, are not sure if it was one or two, ran away, and they haven't been caught yet. So, and here's the deal that all of these stories end with. They said the family is confused, upset over the incident. They said they lived in the home for over 50 years, called it a family house. She described her deceased brother as a man who would never have hurt anyone. And that seems to be the story pretty frequently when this kind of thing happens. So a lot of lessons to learn here. Number one, it doesn't indicate how come there was home invaders. Did they kick the door in? Were they invited in? Or what? It doesn't say. It says they entered the home. So locking the doors may be lesson number one, although I don't know for sure if that's what the case was. But I think the next lesson here, and possibly one, either the most important or the second most important, if they'd locked the door, maybe, possibly, they wouldn't have needed the gun. But apparently Mosley knows how to use one. He took his girlfriend's gun. So what would have been different if he would have had the gun on him, on his hip, instead of in her purse or on her hip or wherever she's carrying it? Or maybe she's getting it out and she's afraid to shoot, froze up, and he took it away from her. You know, there's no way of knowing right now. But could he possibly have saved his uncle's life if he'd had the gun on him, his gun, a gun, on him, when this took place? Maybe, maybe not. We can't really tell from here, but it's something to think about. Now, once he got the gun, it looks like he did a pretty good job, made a pretty good showing for himself there. Three or four guys with rifles, and he took down two of them, killed one. The other one went to the hospital, and nobody else got hurt. You know, so hate to hear about the uncle, but that's one of those things, I guess. Just when you have home invaders with rifles, there's a subject to happen. So my deal is here, if someone comes into your home with a rifle, I think you're ill-advised to wait until they fire for you to fire. Could it? The guy seems to have had some familiarization with the gun. If he would have had it on him, would he have had, and I've thought about this, I've gone over it and over it and over it in my mind many times, hundreds, thousands maybe. Somebody comes in and they get the drop on you right away, you know, kick the door in, or you're at somebody else's place, you're at a ball game or at church or whatever the case may be. what is your course of action here? If there's two or three guys with rifles and they've all got the rifles pointed at you, it's probably not the best idea to draw the gun and fire at that point. I think, depending on circumstances, of course, that you may be able to control the situation without them even knowing about it. They still think they have control, and what you're doing, keeping your firing side turned away from them, stay seated, or whatever you have to do not to give yourself away. If you give yourself away and they see the gun, then you don't have any choice. You cannot let them take the gun. That's just not going to work out for you. You're going to let them take the gun. There'll likely be a second crime scene when they move you somewhere else. You have no way to protect yourself. You cannot allow them to take the gun. Now, maybe if you were alert, tuned up, trained, as soon as the door comes down, you see a rifle, start blazing away before you ever give them the chance. That's likely the best course of action, depending on how many innocents there are in the house and what else. Now, you always have to understand also that it may be law enforcement in the wrong house. Well, I hate it for them, but that's, you know, it's dead, nothing changes. If the door breaks down and I see a rifle, then it doesn't make any difference who's holding it. That has to be taken care of before they are allowed to to control the scene when they come in. That's right, NM Glock, that's exactly my point, and I've made that point I don't know how damn many times in my classes, on this show, in person, when I've spoken at different rallies and stuff, you know, the different deals, and all the training in the world won't get you anything if you don't have the gun on you. If you can't get to it, it don't matter who you are, where you are, nothing. It doesn't matter if you can't get your hands on the gun. And this is, and I'm going to continue to say the same thing a million times. It's just like a fire extinguisher. It's just like life insurance. It's just like a seatbelt. It's just like a motorcycle helmet. You're likely going to have that fire hydrant in your house for the rest of your life, and the house is never going to burn down. You may never have a wreck serious enough that the seatbelts would have made one iota of difference. Your life insurance, your house insurance, fire insurance, all this stuff. So when people live in certain places and it's just like, this is a family house, they said, you know, they don't expect this stuff. It's Mississippi, grits and iced tea, and everybody's having a great time sitting on the porch, and that's the way it is down that part of the country. But if that house catches on fire one time, if you have that one wreck, you have that one issue, it's going to be well worth the insurance or the fire extinguisher or whatever the case is. And if you get involved in one event, one altercation, one home invasion, whatever it might be, and you have to use that gun, it will be worth you carrying it for the next 40 years. Amy has had one event on Valentine's Day of 2012. Most of you are familiar with it. And if she never uses it again, I am damn sure glad she had it that day. She took care of that situation very professionally, and it was that was the end of that. So, anyway, that's my rant. That's my sermon for this Wednesday. Let's move on here. As a matter of fact, it's already, we've already taken up all of this time, so let me, I gotta wipe some of the dust off my crystal ball and get it turned around here facing the right way so I can pull some of this stuff up here. I'm gonna go through some of these, kinda quickly. There's, let me do this one here real quick. This won't take long, there's not a whole lot to it. It says in North Carolina, there's a bill now that would allow high school firearms courses. How about that? But they're not the first ones. You all should know that right over here in Concho, Arizona, about 20 miles from here, there's it's a little place out in the middle of nowhere, son. I mean nowhere. Way out. There's nothing around it. And there's a little school over there. And quite a few people go to that school because there's, you know, people come from, you know, all the ranches and stuff for miles around to get to this little school. And they are now, as of, what, a year, 2 years ago? Something like that. They've got a firearms course going on over there. Safety. I think it's probably, it's not the Eddie Eagle course. It's a regular firearms class of some kind going on at this school, and I think it's an elementary school. So North Carolina won't have the first one. I don't know how many other schools are doing it, but I know that every school should be doing it. Every school should have administrators carrying guns instead of one resource officer, as they call them, wandering around, not ever being at the right place at the right time. So, anyway, all right, well, we're going to take a little break here. If you guys will stay with me, I will be shortly back.
I'll be back.
Revolution, loading now. number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I've got to give me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay, I'll find a way. It ain't gonna take me down the way.
Yeah. This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's going to wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue.
It can't take me. I'm free.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associating them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
You can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
You can't take me. I'm free. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country.
Yeah, we
trust you. All right, we're back here. Everyone heard about the doctor that was drug off the plane, beat senseless, and of course there's some stuff coming up about his past and some of the things that he did. I've heard another variation of that story. You know, the one story is that he was crooked, that he was exchanging sexual favors for prescription drugs and whatnot. And I don't know why everybody brought that up. What difference does it make? That was not the point. The point was he paid for a chair, and he was, the way they got him to leave off there was unacceptable, I think. So anyway, there's people dragging. Oh, but he was a bad guy. You know, he was one of those that he did this and that, was convicted, and okay, so what? I don't care. Doesn't matter. He's not a nice guy. I wouldn't invite him into my home. I don't ever want to meet him. But that doesn't change the fact that they went about this the wrong way. United is losing their rear end here over this deal. And it got worse today. Yesterday. I think it was just the day after they had this deal with the doctor. There was another guy, a multi-bazillionaire, I guess, that evidently didn't have as many frequent flyer miles as another guy, and they said the flight was overbooked and the other guy had priority. And the guy said, well, I don't care what he's got. You know, they paid for this chair and I ain't leaving. So anyway, they threatened him with handcuffs. I'm going to take him off the plane, which is amazing to me. But they said, all right, he called the one of the bigwigs with United, and they said, well, you shouldn't lose your seat over this. So they traded him an economy class seat for his first class seat. And so he said, okay, he made it to his destination. You know, he had to go. He had one of those deals where they had people waiting and all that. But when he got there, he said he wanted $1,000 and he wanted United to donate $25,000 to their favorite charity. And I thought that was pretty decent of him, considering. And United said that they weren't going to have anything to do with donating to a charity. That was not going to be happening. And neither was $1,000. Radio Doc having a little trouble with his smartphone there. Anyway, they offered him the difference in price between the first class seat and the economy seat, and $500 for his next towards his next ticket. So I don't know what's going to happen over that. I don't know if he's going to sue him or what. But I tell you, United is not making any friends right now. And I read a deal today. Warren Buffett is a large holder in the company that owns United Airlines. And apparently, after this thing went viral, he lost just in one day, from the stocks going down and the shares going down in United and everything, in one day, he lost $24 million. And he's not a happy camper either. So I don't think that I know that United's going to get out of this. You know, when you have that much money and that many lawyers and all that stuff, you know, they're going to get out of it. But they're not going to get out of it scot-free. They're going to have to claw their way back to where they come from and get things squared away here. It's kind of amusing, actually, to me, I think, from watching this kind of stuff happen. But you know what? It's and this will never happen. It'll never happen. Oh, by the way, before I forget, NM Glock, if you're still with us there, in that next to the last soundbite that I played, there was a voice in there that wasn't mine, and that was Bob Wright. I've got a few sound bites of him from rallies that him and I went to together, and I will always I'll always hold on to those. I need to make sure I've got all of them and keep track of them there. Anyway. It's never going to happen because people are too, the majority of them are submissive. They're not interested in non-compliance. They're only interested in getting to where they're going. You know, United could be shut down. It could be shut down in a week. People just quit flying. Doesn't matter what prices are. Doesn't matter what amenities they offer. Don't matter if they give you an extra bottle of orange juice when you get on the plane. Don't matter if they turn the whole damn plane into a first class deal and offer them at economy rates. If people refuse to fly, they would be out of business in no time. You can't. A company that size still has to make payroll, still has insurance to pay, and still has very no telling how many other costs. All that still has to be made. And I'll guarantee if those planes were sitting on the ground for a couple of days, United would be no more. Pretty soon somebody would buy them out and things would change. And the same can be said for any one of 1,000 other things that goes on in the country. We have to do it because we have to do it. No, actually you don't have to do it. NM Glock, you got it, brother. That's exactly right. I did, because it was my duty, I did fly with Jeanette Finnicum, because I was her security at the time. And I detest flying. Actually, I love flying. That's not the right thing. I just don't like all the crap you got to go through. So I'm like NM Glock. If I can't drive, I ain't going. And I just don't fly. But people will give up. Sam Adams said that people will give up their security for convenience and safety. Or they'll give up their, how'd that go? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. If people feel like they need to do something, they're going to fly, regardless of how much they will talk about it other times. They'll still fly if they feel like they need to or want to go somewhere. And I think that it's, yeah, Ben, thank you, Rolex, that's right. Well, I don't want to get off of that for a while. That's one of my pet peeves there. All right, so here's another thing going on, kind of similar to this. This happened in South Dakota. South Dakota has a law there that allows forced catheterization. It means if they think you are on drugs or you're driving drunk or you're whatever, then they can take you down on the table and hold you down with five or six officers, yank your britches down and forcibly use a catheter to get a urine sample. And this guy was hooded. They put a black hood. It was a mesh hood over his face. You could still see light through it, but couldn't see very well. Couldn't see where he's going. Handcuffed, and as he described it, violated. As they pinned him down on a hospital exam table and put the catheter in him. They did the same thing. Worse than that, the guy said it was degrading. I was angry. I felt like my civil rights were being, well, yeah, that's understandable. Worse than that, they did the same thing to a 3-year-old kid. It's bad enough that they do this to anybody, but they did this to a 3-year-old that had some part of a child welfare investigation. Well, the child welfare was doing fine until y'all got here. But apparently they were looking for, whether, I don't know if the parents or foster parents or whatever it was, they suspected giving him drugs or what happened. But anyway, they took him down and inserted a catheter in him. So, yeah, NM Glock, that's the one right there. So, the point of this story is not so much that they're doing this. The point of the story is that this kind of thing is happening all over the country. They had the forced body cavity search a couple of times in southern New Mexico over there. I don't remember where it was at. Somewhere around Socorro or somewhere over there. That was 2 or 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I don't remember. But, and then we have a judge up in Nevada right now who is absolutely ignoring the Constitution and doing it day after day, totally against everything that we believe in. And there are checks and balances, but they're not working. They're not being used. And we've got good men being railroaded here that hadn't done anything. They were peaceful protesters. And these little sissies up there in Nevada are saying that they felt that their life was in danger. They're saying that they, all you have to do is say something wrong and they consider an assault on a police officer. That whole thing escapes me there. I don't get it. So there's no telling how many more people are going to be arrested how many more violations there's going to be, how many more fake, false, unwarranted arrests, home invasions by jackbooted thugs. I saw a meme on Facebook today. It said it's had the ISIS leader standing there with the ISIS flag behind him and all these masked guys on both sides of him. And there was a sign there that simply said ISIS. Underneath was a bunch of law enforcement guys. One guy standing at the podium with a star behind him, probably his county or state logo. And all these masked law enforcement guys on both sides of him, and it said vanilla ISIS. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that think that. And it's unfortunate that we've come to that point, but we are at that point. And a lot of people are not looking at this very kindly here. You know, and it's a shame because there are still, regardless of what anybody thinks or anybody says, there are still a lot of good cops out there. And I know some of them. And I know that there are some out there that still think the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. I know some of them that will lay their badge down on the desk and walk away before they will violate that. I know some, depending on circumstances, that will be arresting other officers if they try to forcibly take guns away at some point, confiscate our guns. So we still have good people on the inside, so to speak. There's still good cops out there. There's a lot of them. But that being said, there's an increasing number of just the opposite of that. There are an increasing number of vanilla ISIS that seem to be waging this war, have created this us against them attitude for what reason, I don't know, or what makes them think. You know, for some reason, when this deal in, you know, Bundy Ranch, Oregon, any one of, you know, 1,000 other ones around the country, why is it immediately that we become the enemy? Why are there people that think they are the enemy? Why does it have to be that way? Bright Angel, you know, that's right. That's the increasing violence, I know. And a lot of the increasing violence, I think, is due to the attitudes of both sides when neither side is willing to give any. And I don't know why that these are the, on the other side are Americans. They live next door to y'all. Their kids go to your school. Their kids go to your, you know, they'll go to your church. They shop at the same supermarket. But all of a sudden, when you get caught driving without a driver's license or something like that, you're yanked out of the car and thrown to the ground at gunpoint, and all of a sudden it was a whole different ballgame then. And it's disturbing, and it's getting worse. So, anyway. Alright, let's see here. Let me get my deal line back up here. Apparently, I haven't read this whole story yet, but apparently Judicial Watch is going to sue the ATF, or they are suing the ATF, for records of attempted reclassification of AR-15 ammunition. So that could turn out to be a good thing if they win. Apparently, it looks like the ATF is backing down just a little bit, easing up, although none of that is official and affects us yet. But Do you remember when they reclassified some of the AR-15 ammunition, or not just AR-15, any ammunition that just happens to be that the AR-15, the 308, the 7.62, the 39 happened to be the ones that were classified as armor-piercing and whatnot. So, but reportedly, the ATF is reconsidering now its February 2015 proposal that would revise the 2014 regulation guide regarding the classification of certain ammunition. In March 2015, more than 200 members of Congress wrote to former ATF Director Todd Jones expressing their serious concern that the proposal might violate the Second Amendment by restricting ammunition. Now, see, right there we have 200 members of Congress that wrote saying that it was a might violate the Second Amendment. Now, is their interpretation of the Second Amendment and everything as strong and like ours or not? But there's still 200 members of Congress. That's pretty near half of them. So that's not necessarily a bad deal there. Letter says the ATF's move does not comport with the letter or spirit of the law and will interfere with Second Amendment rights by disrupting the market for ammunition that law-abiding Americans use for sporting and other legitimate purposes. So, and there's copies of the actual letters here and all of the signatures. Most of these signatures are unreadable. There's Ken Buck. I'm sure there's a list of all of them that jumped on here. Most of them are just scrawled in there. And Bill Johnson, Rodney Day, it looks like. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of them. Over 200 of them. Jeff Miller. Anyhow. Well, there they are. There's the printed version of it. Let me go down through here real quick and see what it doesn't show here on this thing is whether they're Republican or Democrat or where they're from. It just has their name. There's 236 of them. And their name is all. So I'd have to go down through there and read each one. I do recognize some of the names here. Ann Kirkpatrick. Anyway, so that'll be interesting to see if Judicial Watch is successful in that. Apparently the ATF is starting to slide a little bit, so that'll be good. It says that they filed the lawsuit after the agency failed to respond to a March 9th Freedom of Information Act request seeking seeking information on the ammo ban. And specifically all records of communications, including emails to or from employees or officials of the ATF related to the decision to revise the ATF 2014 regulation guide to no longer exempt 5.56mm SS-109 and M855 green tip AR-15 ammunition from the definition of armor-piercing ammunition. So, anyway, there's a little more to the story than that, so we'll see how it comes out. Okay, well, our hour is come and gone already. So, Liberty Lounge will be on Friday at its normal time, 8 o'clock Pacific time. Haven't figured out exactly. We may just do plain old classic country this time. But I think what we are going to do, from time to time, I'm going to ease up a little bit. And we're going to have a theme of some type. And we had the 50s and 60s here this last Friday. Turned out real good. We got a lot of comments, a lot of emails and stuff on that. So that turned out well. We'll need to do that again sometime because of all the songs that I had prepared for that night, we only got through about half of them. So I've easily got enough for another night of whole new music that you haven't heard yet. So, anyhow. All right, well, let me get over here and get things lined up here to get our automatic doohickey going. And I will see you guys Friday evening. Hope you have a good Thursday. And there's one of them going. What the heck? Now I got to bring. Oh, there it is. All right. There it is. Okay, now I'm out of here.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation.